You know, technology is invading the education field at an increasing pace. The process has effectively evolved from learning on blackboards, like in our day, to learning on interactive whiteboards and even the use of tablets in the classroom for learners. So it begs a lot of questions. Should all schools switch over to e-learning? What are the actual benefits for our children? Will all learners be able to interact via computers? You think of parents. Can parents afford the latest technology? Can e-learning guarantee better academic results? These are just some of the questions being posed by educators as this debate rages on, as research starts to come in. And depending on which school your child goes to and how you support their learning experience, the use of tablets is probably part and parcel of your home and their learning experience. This happened to my son, who's now in grade 7. When he went to grade 4, all parents were asked that by the time they get to grade 5, as part of the books and the stationery that you buy at the start of the year, that we needed to include a tablet, and they added specifications of what they were looking for. And then the software was downloaded, and it's part of the learning experience in the classroom and as part of homework once he reaches, once he's at home doing his homework in the afternoons. But I must say, it's been a source of frustration for me as a parent, because you have to monitor over and above the monitoring of regular homework that in fact is using the tablet for the things that he's meant to be doing. And I'm not so sure about whether or not the outcomes have improved, whether his grasp of a particular topic has changed or improved. And I guess it's because he's in the formative years of his schooling career. So have you observed how your child interacts with the software, with the use of his tablet when doing homework and whenever dealing with particular concepts in a particular subject? Has it improved his level or her level of understanding? So we'll take your calls, your observations, your concerns about the use of technology in the classroom. The country reeled last year when we got the results from the Progress in International Reading Literacy Study, PIRLS. It revealed that many countries, including ours, have children who are struggling to read. In South Africa, as much as 78% of grade 4 children cannot read for meaning in any language. And PIRLS has assessed 4-year reading comprehension in over 60 countries since 2001 and set international benchmarks for reading comprehension. So can we improve on such results with the use of technology? Well, SchoolNet believes that there is a solution to the foundation phase reading crisis that the education system in South Africa currently faces, and it involves the use of tablets and similar technology. Janet Thompson, who's the executive director at SchoolNet South Africa, joins us now just to share insights and results from their qualitative research. Good afternoon, Janet. It's a pleasure to have you on the show this afternoon.
Thank you very much, and good afternoon.
Very interesting, you know, because we are dealing with Generation Z, Generation Alpha, kids who are already so accustomed to using technology to interact with the broader world, and of course, to learn. So you carried out this qualitative research in a number of schools in KZN. Just take me through your methodology.
Yes, we actually had 12 schools all together in the study, and half of them were in KZN and the other half were in the Western Cape. Mm. And we introduced the teachers first, because as you've been emphasizing, people in the older ages didn't grow up with these toys. And so we spent a lot of time with the teachers becoming familiar with the technology. And the technology for them was Samsung Galaxy Tab and the Xbox Kinect. And as you may or may not know, the Kinect is controlled with your body, so it's very interactive. And for some of the older lady teachers, this was, you'd think it would be intimidating or threatening, but they loved it. And we had some of the older teachers even saying things like, you know, I'm 57 years old and I've never touched a computer, but I didn't think I'd ever touch an Xbox or ever play with a tablet, but here I am now and I wouldn't teach without it.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's encouraging.
Sorry?
I'm saying that's incredibly encouraging. Because we know how swamped our teachers are, that now with the level of lack of discipline in classrooms, that's a source of stress, and often the teaching experience tends to suffer.
Yes, and unfortunately, sometimes the technology is used as a bit of a reward or a punishment that you can play with your tablet if you're good. But but usually that's an encouraging sign as well, because the fact that the use of the technology is so engaging for learners means that you've already crossed that discipline behavior barrier that you're referring to. And it also happens to be the way that we learn second language, that once you're an adult or you've gone past the baby stage and you're learning a second language, if you're playing with something that's totally engaging, you actually forget that you're playing with a second language and using a second language and listening to it. And you become so immersed in it that you become confident in it. And that's what's happened with the children playing with educational apps and using the Xbox games.
Right. So were the kids also issued with tablets?
Yes, the children were given 7-inch Intel tablets with a lot of carefully chosen apps that were aimed at the three learning areas for foundation phase: numeracy and literature and life skills. But the Xbox was found to be the most valuable for the life skills, and obviously the other literacies that we were studying were visual literacy, numeracy, gross motor coordination, and fine motor skills, as well as the English language, which we found was overwhelmingly positive, almost 28% higher than the children in the control schools who didn't get any technology or any professional development for the teachers.
So let's break that down. Because you were looking at various aspects, let's look at each one. Let's start with literacy. So you're saying there was already a 28% improvement in the learners that were using tablets, who were part of the experiment, compared to those that did not have these interventions.
Yes, and the tool that we used for that, when you asked about the methodology, we used a second language acquisition tool that had been created decades ago, which shows that second language acquisition goes through five stages. And the first stage is a pre-production stage, which is sometimes called a silent stage. And during the 3 years we were conducting this project, the children in the project schools managed to lift themselves not only off that silent stage, but right up to the speech emergence stage, the third level. Mm-hmm. Whereas the control schools, at the end of the 3 years, they had not moved from the silent stage. So the children being tested in those control schools were not able to verbalize anything in English. We had 12 schools in the project, but we only used, for the English language testing, we only used the schools that either had IsiXhosa or IsiZulu as the
main medium of instruction,
and we're moving into English. Yeah, those are the only ones we tested in that, and there were 7 of those.
So you were able to carry this out over 4 years. Were you tracking the same children and seeing how they were doing from grade to grade, and were these improvements seen right through?
Yes, there were bigger improvements, admittedly, from grade R to grade 1. From grade 1 to 2, they weren't quite so big, and from grade 2 to 3, we noticed a massive improvement in the English, but and also in the gross motor skills, but not so much in the other literacies. And this year, we're hoping to just confirm all those findings by looking at how well the children are coping in grade 4 with their improved English skills, but also having to cope with 3 extra subjects in grade 4 using the English language as their language of learning and teaching.
So why were there fewer gains from grade 1 to grade 2?
That's something that I can't answer, but we do know that from other researchers, particularly maths research, that they have the same findings. And it's something that's got to be researched further to find out why from grade 1 to 2 the improvement in maths is just not happening as successfully as it is in the earlier grades. It could be something to do with the actual content of the syllabus for that particular year. It might just be particularly difficult. We have discussed this, but we haven't really focused exclusively on the numeracy skills.
Yes, but then these gains were seen again in grade three.
Yes, certainly for English acquisition, that certainly improved leaps and bounds. And as I say, I think this was mainly due to the immersive method of having second language acquisition while you're not realizing it, because you're enjoying yourself so much playing games and having children in your class shout at you with instructions in English when you might be actually too shy to speak in your own language normally.
So, yes, this is great for the research, but we also have to deliver outcomes as far as CAPS is concerned. Were these achieved?
Yes, and that is the most important message to impart to teachers. I think at the beginning you said teachers are so overworked and have got too much to do. How did they find the time to do this project? And the messaging must be that this sort of activity achieves your outcomes for CAPS much more easily than if you're battling away through traditional methods. And this goes particularly well for the physical education CAPS outcomes, which can be achieved very easily with use of the Xbox. And a lot of teachers were absolutely amazed when that happened. And in fact, they hadn't really interrogated a lot of the terminology in the life skills CAPS docs. And therefore, once they did understand it quite easily, they could think of many, many activities they could do, both with and without the technology.
That's impressive. My guest is Janet Thompson. She's the executive director at SchoolNet South Africa. And I wanted to hear from you as well about your experience within the home, your observations with your child, if they have this kind of technology introduced in the classroom, because there is a push from the Gauteng Education Department. Banyaza Lusufi spoke of 40 billion rand in a previous financial year that's been allocated to the Department of Education. And his focus was to accelerate proper education in the province and build more infrastructure to create a conducive learning experience. But also one of the strategies includes e-learning programs, which started with grade 12 classes. And the department has since started consolidating other grades into this e-learning program. So it's probably already happening in your child's school. So have you observed an improvement in outcomes? 011-883-0702, 31702 for your SMSs. For Clark, we know there's a reading crisis in South Africa, and SchoolNet South Africa is saying that it's time for a digital and playful solution. And we're looking at the outcomes of the research that they've carried out over the past 4 years, involving 12 schools in KwaZulu-Natal and Cape Town. And it looks like the outcomes are good. We're seeing improvements in literacy, in fine motor skills, as well as other areas of competency for children moving from grade R to grade 3. And they will continue to monitor these children as they move into grade 4. Janet Thompson, the executive director at SchoolNet South Africa, is with us for this conversation. Now, Janet, the question of learner curiosity, because we're looking at Generation Z, Generation Alpha, and how these tech savvy digital native children may prefer to learn. Was there an immediate uptake from what you observed from the children in this as digital natives? How did they respond to learning this way?
Yes, well, as you've anticipated, it was very positive indeed. And in great contrast to the teachers who were apprehensive, but soon came on board. And yes, the children become engaged, so much so that the teachers were telling us that they were searching for their own apps and their own educational games, which worried the teachers a little. And they obviously had to rein that in to make sure that they didn't access any inappropriate material. But even for parents and as well as the teachers, it's really important that the learning that happens on the screen, whatever screen it is, that it's mediated, that the tablet isn't just given to keep the children quiet, that it's actually there as a learning tool.
Right. And what about learners with low motivation or bad study habits that may tend to fall behind with the curriculum?
Yes, well, I think that's one of the big issues with the teaching of reading, is that it is such an individual skill, and so often learners with problems or they get distracted, they really do need individual attention. And with a lot of our big classes in South Africa, that's another contributing factor to the poor level of reading. But definitely children are engaged by technology. We can't get away from that fact.
Yes, and I guess we then have to equip teachers to be able to isolate students that are feeling isolated because they are learning on their own or doing so. It has to be self-driven. And those that do have low motivation or bad study habits may feel isolated and continue to regress. So this does mean that teachers would have to be equipped with more than what they currently have as skills.
Yes, well, as the children get older, and if they are in a school that they where they can move on to a school that's got a classroom management system, very often you'll find that shy, isolated child will be much more willing to communicate with the teacher and with their peers via a digital means, either WhatsApp or shared docs, or, rather than speaking up in class. So that has been found to be one of the benefits of using a digital classroom.
Let's go to Harold calling from Sandton. Hello, Harold.
Hi, Tanya. Good afternoon. I'd just love to ask your guest a question, please.
Go ahead.
I've got two kids at school. One is obviously forced due to circumstances that the school studies via the app.
Yeah.
And the other one, obviously, they use books. There is absolutely no doubt from my feedback with talking to a lot of the parents, they really do not appreciate the kids studying from an app or from computers and stuff like that. It is not an easy way. It's not a very smart way for any children to study, i.e. The books, because in the books you can do research, you can turn back the page while you're doing your homework or looking for something. Whereby the app, you can't do that. It takes you ages to go from one page to another page if you want to quickly go back and see what you've research or what you've studied or what you've written down in your books.
But apart from that, Harold, are you seeing a different performance from your two children?
Without any doubt. It's so difficult. It is so difficult to study from a computer or from an app.
So the one who has the app, are you saying the one who has the app is performing poorer than the one who's using actual textbooks?
Well, he takes very long to do his study. He's not enjoying it, and it's very, very difficult.
Okay. What grades are they, just out of curiosity?
The older one is now the last year, and the other one is in grade 7.
Ah, I see. So this is at a high school level and to the end of primary. Harold, thank you for those insights, because we're also seeing in countries like Finland where they have opted for low tech. It's maybe the board, the interactive whiteboard only, but the kids themselves don't necessarily don't use technology at all. But their education system, of course, is styled and modeled very differently, because the role of the teacher, for instance, is to create an atmosphere that is conducive to learning. The focus is so much more on a fun or on an atmosphere that is more inclusive, where children feel that they are welcome. So it's interesting insights from Harold. Janet, any response to that?
Yes, well, and also to your Finnish example, I must say Finland is one of the countries that has the highest level of play and the highest level of physical play. And there's a great emphasis put on that. And let's not forget, it's the country that has made lots of digital games, including Angry Birds.
Yeah. So the culture is very strong there, but we do have to leave it there. I'm going to direct our listeners to go onto the website, schoolnet.org.za, because the full report is available there. Thank you so much,
fantastic.
Janet.
Thank you. Goodbye.
That's Janet Thompson, Executive Director at SchoolNet South Africa. So if you want to take a closer look, maybe you're an educator, you're a stakeholder in the education field, or just a parent who's particularly interested, at schoolnet.org.za.